Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to your favorite food podcast. We're recording on-site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive, and I get to eat it. We've got a special guest here at the studio today, but first things first, be sure you catch last week's episode with Chef Brian Jacobs of Liberty Smokehouse. He and Chef Justin are good people, and their food, next level, baby. All right, today's guest is social media sensation, Casey Sharp. You've seen her home cooking skills on TikTok, IG, and all the rest. She blew up during COVID with millions of followers and very entertaining food content. Well, now she's got a cookbook coming out in a couple of weeks. We'll get into that. Plus, Cassie will be working on some dishes alongside of Jefferson today. Stay tuned. Cassie is on deck. I'm into quality made smoked fish dips and spreads, and I know you are too. Check out our friends over at Crab Island Seafood Company. One of my favorites is the Crab Rangoon. Visit them at crabislandseafooddip.com. And you know what? Let me tell you something. That Crab Rangoon is special. I actually made a pasta the other day, and I put the leftovers I had in it. It's really great. All right. So, Jeff, you were like the... You played mentor today with Cassie. And I just want to say, Obi Chef Kenobi, pop the clutch and jump into pre-shift, and may the sauce be with you, baby. Let's roll.
I appreciate that.
All right.
So we wanted to go based upon like what you were talking about last week when we had the barbecue, when Brian was on, when Justin wanted to keep that watermelon kind of theme going. And when you asked, what am I going to be doing? So I figured might as well pull something out where it's still summer. It's 95 degrees out, 95% humidity, and it's like an oven. So you got to have some cold soup. So it did this gazpacho, which is like the Castilian style, but instead of making it tomato based, it was watermelon. And then layered it with some mint and some sweet peppers, cucumber, red onion, and the Marisaki pepper. So it had that sweet and spicy kind of mixed there.
It was cold.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. And then the next dish was, you know, when you have a roasted chicken from either you made it yourself or you went to the market or Costco or Sam's, what are you going to do with the other half if you have it left over? So I wanted to do something with a chicken sandwich. So we did an open-faced, a little smoked Gouda sourdough because I'm still getting trying to perfect my sourdough. I did the sourdough, smoked Gouda, pickled onions. We had some bourbon maple syrup glazed bacon. You can't go wrong with that. And then the roasted chicken on there with the green, the microgreens. That was pretty spectacular. And then we had a candied pecans too, which I know I'm not going to get the little container I brought because John's already claimed it.
I think it's all gone already.
No, John's got a couple. He's got like five left.
It was a whole
yeah,
thing.
It was full. Yeah, it was 8 ounces and it's gone.
Yeah,
I only used like less than an ounce. And then the main dish was the riff that I kind of did when I was in one of my restaurants. It was a snapper with watermelon, tomato, kimchi. And that went really well. And it did some graffiti eggplant, roasted those off, and then did some. Our new companion is just too
so
much.
What we have in the in studio today, along with Cassie, is a puppy that shall go unnamed, as there is no name yet. It's that fresh, that new of a puppy in house, in studio. And he's a cutie patootie.
Not as a fruity patootie, but he's definitely a cutie patootie.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely cuter.
he is definitely cuter. No offense, Sean, but he's definitely cuter than Fruity Patootie.
Yeah, sorry, brother. Yeah. So that put that stuff on everything sauce that you do, where I am taking that quart home. We need to put that in a jar, and we need to label it. We need to do that, and we need to start selling it. And I believe there might be some places for this now.
Well, I heard today that there was a peach, if I'm not mistaken, John, there was a peach jam that just came up, and now a Meyer lemon marmalade with lavender and thyme that seems it needs to go in a bottle too. But that tangerine, I think, is the first dibs, right? Yeah. Is he shaking his head? Yes.
Yeah. You got to go tangerine first, but you know, with something like that, I feel like it should go out in threes.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's what we do here anyhow. So should be in threes.
Yep. We got Meemaw Sassy Sauce, the PTSE, and then we can do the tangerine once it's ready for tangerine season.
Yeah.
Oh, Quentin.
Well, right.
Noble Citrus.
I was thinking that, or you can do the peach, the lemon, and the tangerine as a trio.
Oh, just the jam. Ah, gotcha.
As a trio.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll have to do that next year.
Yeah. Even John, we're getting head shake over there.
Yeah. I'm amazed.
Yeah, seriously.
Even, I guess it's his new companion.
Yeah. Dog's good for you, bro. So, all right. So the sandwich was great. I'm all in on the Sammy.
Yeah, I know you are.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the fish was good too. But I was really enamored with the sandwich. And even more so than the sandwich was the fact that our guest today, you know, that we did this whole, today was all different. You know, it was for good. You know, I'll usher Cassie in a second. But ultimately, like, this is what she does. She's not a professional cook. She's a home cook. And today what we did was we did a challenge basically in the same fashion as kind of what she does on her her channels on TikTok and Instagram. And we had her pick five ingredients, you know, numbered, pick out of a bowl, random. And luckily she had the bread, the chicken, and then a few other ingredients. We'll get into it. But I was really more interested in that today.
Mm-hmm.
You always do great.
Thank you. You
always. Like, we don't give you enough. I don't think we tell you enough how wonderful it is, the job you do here.
Thank you.
With the food and everything. Today, you were a little outshined.
Well, of course.
I'm just saying. I am just.
She's used to being on camera.
I think so. Yeah. Well, you know, aren't we Smidge, at this point now?
Not as good as she is.
Well, it's just different.
She's got that thought process that needs to go for that social media. She's doing well with it, obviously.
Yeah.
And she'll talk about how her fans and her base is going to look at things that she does, especially today.
Jeff, shut up. All right, Cassie. I'm kidding. So, Cassie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. This has been like an odyssey, like a short adventure. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let you kind of frame out the last maybe 36 hours, 24 to 36 hours, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead and take a minute and give the airplane view of who you are and how you got to millions of followers on the on the old TikTok and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get into your trip here and then what we did today.
Okay. You want me to do all of that or you want to start off with the
airplane view?
Airplane view. Got it. Okay. So I started TikTok and social media content creation back in 2020 and it's just been a wild journey. I didn't really know what I wanted to do at first. I just was kind of surrounded by the right people in the space. Collaboration was a huge component to just taking off and getting to the level that I am now, which is I'm so grateful for. And so I started, I was a kinesiology major in college. And so I started trying to incorporate what I had learned into content. So I would do, you know, guess the sugar and fitness challenges. And it was good, but it wasn't great. I wasn't super happy. Like long term, if I were to look at the picture of social media, I would have been like, I can't see myself doing this for a long time. I'd always wanted to do cooking stuff, but I didn't know how to cook. So that was where I was kind of coming from. And it was right around the time that I moved into my first apartment. So end of 2020, early 2021. And I had kind of ventured a little bit into the healthy cooking scene and I was messing it all up. I mean, like, it's really hard to cook with alternative sugars. I don't know if you guys have ever done that. Maybe it's just my lack of experience. But so I remember one time I made a brownie with alternative sugar and it was rock hard. My friends were literally beating it on the table and they called it the Ten Commandments. So that was fun. So I really went into this scene of cooking on social media with like a low bar of expectation. And I joined this, I moved into my first apartment and my mom kind of was sitting with me and I kind of told her like, I don't really know how to take care of myself. Like I don't know how to cook, you know, for myself. I've never really had to do that before. And so she said, well, you know, and she wanted me to budget too. So she handed me $10. She handed me a $10 bill and she said, all right, make dinner with $10. And so I said, okay. And I said, but you know what? We should film this. My content creator brain, I had already been doing it for about a year now. And so we filmed the process of me making a very non-authentic Italian meal as I was sharing with Carl. And it
everyone in the comments section, they were right.
Yeah. Carl as an Italian was a little offended also by my lack of understanding and knowledge of Italian cooking, but it was a $10 challenge. It was a budget challenge. You know, we're just working with what we got. My first time cooking like ever. And it did really well. I went to the grocery store and I saw that like, okay, it had gained maybe like a few million overnight. It was great. And then I was seeing like, oh, every hour it was gaining a few million and it was just like snowballing. It was, I mean, truly an incredible experience. And that was when I realized I could do this. I could make content about learning how to cook. So that's kind of where I present myself to you guys today as a wannabe chef, a home chef, a self-taught chef. And I use the word chef lightly, but I'm happy to be here and I'm just happy to get any opportunity to learn.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
So you, Jeff, today, and I saw a difference in his personality, like his approach, like just his presence was different today. He did put on his mentor hat, right?
Yeah.
Toque, if you will. Jeffrey. But but so I noticed that, and I saw how you gravitated to that really well. Mm-hmm. And I could see there might be, and I'm just going to dangle it out there, there may be some future content.
Could be.
With this, right? Because you seem very eager to learn. Mm-hmm. And of course, Jeff is more than happy to hear himself talk.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, no kidding. So
I noticed that.
Yes. I'm not
gonna learn from the best. He's sitting right across from me.
Right.
I mean, John just went true story.
We do a talk show. Like, this is what we do.
It is walk in talk.
Yeah. Indeed. So, all right, walk us through today. Walk us through the fact that you learned some, and by the way, you executed. You know, Jeff taught you a chiffon cut on the mint, and Jeff walks away for like 10 minutes, and she decides to like, hey, I'm going to do it. I thought her fingers were all coming off. I honest to God, I was like, my head was tilted to the side as I'm watching, and I was like holding
He's
my
wincing.
Chin, and I was like, oh my goodness, hey, watch the fingers, watch the fingers, you know? But she did a great job. When you came out, it was done.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you a little secret too. When somebody says watch your fingers, put the knife down.
No.
So one of the biggest things when I was going through my apprenticeship and going through the ranks of becoming a chef and just being a cook, I'd worked in this one place at Biscayne Wine Market. It was on 125th, and Stefan was the chef, and Teddy Falco learned from him. So Teddy was one of my mentors, and I learned from him. One of the things that his wife would always do is like, watch your fingers. As soon as she walked away, I cut myself.
Oh.
Because she implanted in my brain, watch your fingers. So I learned every time since then, when somebody says, be careful when you cut, and now I just put my knife down and I walk away. Just a split second, maybe grab a drink of water. But as soon as you put that thought in your mind, guess what's going to happen? You're going to cut yourself.
Yeah.
Put the knife down.
Yeah. I've just learned to tune it out.
Smart. Smart. I mean, I saw the tip of that finger, boy, and it was just so close to that. I'm just like, oh my goodness.
What did I tell her? I said, the way you're going to learn is after the fifth or sixth time you get stitches, you'll be fine.
I haven't had to have stitches yet, but I have cut myself a few times.
Knock on wood, not too hard though.
So walk us through how you decided that you took over production today.
This is my studio now.
This is my house. No, but go ahead. Walk us through. Talk about. I want to hear you talk about the experience of, you know, not that this is a professional kitchen because it isn't, you know, but Jeff brings that element into what we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Let's get into that a little bit because I know that you the whole day today you were like, I saw your eyeballs were huge and you and it seemed like you were absorbing so much. Talk about that experience.
Yeah, I mean, I am so excited to be in a room filled with people who are as passionate about cooking and food as I am or more. You know, I don't know, but I do know that I was so entertained by the food photography component of all of this, because it's been something, you know, I know we're going to talk about this a little later, but just in producing my cookbook, which was a very do-it-yourself process. Everything was, I mean, except for the binding and printing of the book, it was me doing the work. I mean, I was directing the photographer. I don't think that the photographer that I used to take the pictures for my cookbook had ever really had that much experience with photographing food. So, you know, I was just going off of Pinterest pictures. You know, I had like a PowerPoint presentation of like every dish that it was going to be in my cookbook in the order that I wanted to photograph them and kind of some reference images. And then I just kind of let him do his thing. He did, you know, he knows how to do object photography and he did a good job. But then I see the process that you guys go through and I am flabbergasted. I mean, it was truly incredible to watch. I'm inspired. And I think it's so important as somebody in this space to surround yourself with people that inspire you. I want to go home and make some changes, because if you look at my social media account, you'll see a bunch of thumbnails of, you know, me maybe, you know, in the middle of cooking, and maybe there's text on the screen. And that's you know, my entire Instagram homepage, you know, it's my profile. So there's not a lot of food in the food influencers, you know, social media profile. So I'm looking at this and I'm like, I want to absorb as much of this as I can.
Yeah. But wouldn't you say that it's you and your personality, mm-hmm. right? How you approach the food. Almost in your case, I feel like the food is secondary, even though for you, the passion is in you. It's number one, but it is your passion in your physical mannerisms. I think that bring in your audience.
Yeah. I would say that. Yes. But so my struggle is that every single image on my social media profile looks the same. So that's where, cause you know, my main style of content is cooking with 5 random ingredients. So I have a bunch of random ingredients cards and I fan them out like a deck of cards, you know, and I'm holding them and I'm picking an ingredient from them. So every single, and then, you know, in my video, it'll show up on screen, this text that says 5 random ingredients. So every single beginning, you know, thumbnail is 5 random ingredients text on screen with me picking a card. So it all looks kind of like it's the same video, and I would love some variety in that sense. So that's where it is challenging because, yes, my audience wants to see me, but they also are interested in what I'm making. And so there's I guess it's a tough line to walk because I think it's good to showcase what you make. And like today, you know, and I'm sure we're going to get into this too, but I made something in the kitchen and I think if I had been in my house, I would have not been very impressed with the pictures that I would have taken of it. But we took it into the studio and John worked his magic and it looked like it had been made by like a Michelin chef, you know, and I'll take credit for that. You know, I will take on be the Michelin chef, you know.
You're a Michelin chef. And you're a Michelin chef. And yes. You're a Michelin chef.
Yes, yeah.
Michael exactly. Collant has just dropped dead.
Yeah. So I mean it was truly incredible watching just the process. And oh my gosh, John has shelves of plates and bowls and cups and
forks, knives, spoons,
and placemats. You would have never, I've never seen so many different placemats in my entire life. And he's saying, oh yeah, like a lot of them he's gotten thrifting and at, you know, some other stores. And it's nice to see that, like, I could do that. It's not like he's going to some, you know, photographer only, you know, store. Like it's something that anybody can do.
So
your job is something anybody can do, John.
What it comes down to is learn. And I'm talking for him because he's playing with the dog, but
he doesn't talk either.
But he doesn't talk anyway. It's a 30 year plus, you know, odyssey into film, right? Photography stills. And all of the learning about not just equipment, not just lighting, not just, you know, how colors work and don't work together, all of the details in it. Plus you have to be creative, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's where a lot of people maybe miss the mark mm-hmm. because the creativity levels, the factor, you know, you see a lot of people's stuff online and yeah, we're all kind of working. We're all taking a picture of the same dish basically. Right. Yeah. But everybody's stuff is very mechanical. It's very just, it's there, mm-hmm. but there isn't any depth or layers. And, you know, thank goodness that our iPhones and Android phones have, you know, filters and, you know, because if they didn't, we'd all be screwed.
Right.
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 Actual photographers do it a whole different way. And, you know, we're blessed to have, you know, this guy with us because he takes, you know, the crappy food that Jeffrey makes. And no, I'm kidding. You know, he takes your beautiful dishes and then it's enhanced times 1,000.
Listen, every time I see the first shot, right? Even when he took the picture of the sandwich, my sandwich, not her sandwich. Oops. When you looked at it, I don't know how many feet away from it. I'm like, that's just gorgeous. And you were like, how can you make any detail? It's not the detail. It's just everything he does. And every time somebody comes in here, my first thing that I tell chefs is like, by the way, it's probably going to be your one dish is going to be an hour. And they're like, what? I'm like, it's an hour because there's X amount of shots that he takes just to build the front, the reference. Mm-hmm. And then he'll add stuff. Like we were talking about the compartment plate that you guys will see when we do this one with the fish, it had like a 3-compartment plate to it. And he started putting stuff around it for the ancillary items like he normally does. And he's like, no, this is, we have structured chaos on the plate. Then we're going to do chaos around now. This is not going to look good. And he scrapped it and started taking pictures. So it's not just, you know, anybody can do it. It's a lifetime of like a chef. You were saying to me, he's like, you know, the science behind it. Well, mm-hmm. I didn't. I learned the science behind it because I was always the one that was asking the questions. Why?
To kind of circle back on what you said, Cassie, yes, you can learn to do it by doing it, you know, and having your successes and failures and not to beat yourself up on the things that you don't appreciate.
It's not failure. It's first time in attempt in learning.
Yeah, but right? It's our perceived failure. It isn't that it is a failure. It's right. Our perception of what it is. So and what I mean by just to be clear, mm-hmm. you know, if I went to go do a photo shoot, right? And I execute the photo shoot and I look at it and I'm like, oh, that's absolutely terrible.
No, you would oversaturate.
Yeah. Well, I would definitely 100%. I would look at it. Yeah. I got to do your high five. I would look at that and go, this is a failure, but this is going to propel me to do better. Right.
Right. But what I'm saying is that most of the time, like we're talking about sourdough and I brought my failure and one of them that was done better. And I did a presentation one time we were doing something here and I went back and I did the failure again, but it wasn't about my bread. I don't remember. It's on my social. And I think you and I had talked about it. I think if we show the imperfections or what we didn't do that didn't turn out the way we wanted it, then people are like, oh, I see what he did wrong. Or I understand now. Like I didn't grasp the concept of
her spaghetti, her noodle dish that she did. God, and that's what the cringe part was. Noodles is that's what made it cringe.
Yeah,
not much anything else. But you know, maybe
if you said macaroni, you'd been better.
You'd have been fine. That you would have been embraced. All right, but here's the thing. But it's because she called it a noodle dish, and everybody was just on fire in a negative. Like they lit her up. Like you know.
Well, what's
1,000 comments,
torches and pitchforks.
Well, what's the difference between a noodle and what is the what's the,
here, wait, here? No. Hold on. Let me get okay. The point. Torches and pitchforks, but that it just enraged the algorithm, and it just and shot it up. A minute ago, you said, "Hey, you know, I made a mistake. I brought the mistake on." So, showing the error, and we don't really do that on the show here. We put out a very polished product.
Usually. Oh, you should have taken a picture of the coconut cream.
Yeah, I know.
I was going to bring that up.
I know.
But listen, I'm the first one when I mess something up, I'm the first one to say
it. And you're the first person to throw it away real quick.
Well, it was disgusting.
I got to chime in here.
Uh-oh.
Whoa. He's actually talking.
You might want to introduce
What's
yourself.
What's your name again?
So here's the thing.
Non-talking
John. And I'm sure Jeff can attest to this. Anytime you have somebody who says to you, wow, that looks so easy. You know immediately that you're doing it good. So if somebody who hasn't done it sees it and it looks easy to them, that's just a testament to what you're doing.
Brilliantly said.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got.
Okay. Is that it? Really?
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
You know, he comes in, drops a sage bomb, and then he splits.
Gone.
Unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, I think what my opinion on how you execute is it's showing... You're showing everything, yeah. You know, from start to finish, good, bad, the ugly, whatever. Like you're putting it all out there, and you know maybe we need to start doing that a little bit. I don't know.
Well, that's what I was telling Jeff that you know in terms of that coconut cream, can we talk about that for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I don't mind. It was a new experience.
Listen, I think there is something to be said. I was mentioning earlier cooking with alternative sugars, but I mean alternative milks too. You know, like and creams like. It's tough. And so with coconut cream, you know, he had mentioned this idea. Do you want to say what it was going to be?
Yeah. So I was going to do a gazpacho and I bought a coconut milk cream. So for whipping. And I thought, oh, this would be perfect. I have lemongrass growing outside of Marasaki and I had mint. So let's go ahead and make a infusion of it so I can dollop on top. Got it, brought it over here, went to go mix it up. It started to thicken and then and curdled. Yeah. It's split. And I even said it just before. I'm like, oh, I wonder if this can be over whipped. Guess what, everyone? It can be over whipped.
I saw it when it looked good, to be fair. I did.
Went over the line because I didn't think it was thick enough.
And it, I mean, it was out on the counter for no more than 30 seconds before it was down the drain, you know? And that, I mean, that it's an unfortunate part of recipe creation, as something that I've learned is that you make mistakes and you're like, well, can't put that in my cookbook, you know, can't put that on my blog. And I think the world needs to see that, because I think everybody just assumes that these chefs and, you know, anybody who makes even cooking content online is just perfect every time. You know, they get A pluses across the board.
Are you inadvertently saving the world? I mean, ultimately speaking, you look at social media, there's so many positives out with social media, but then there's the negatives, you know, and there's no shortage of those either. In the end, though, you're talking about just everybody's perception of perfection and how everybody puts perfection, you know, even though they live, you know, their home life is a dumpster fire, or, you know, there's nothing good in their life. But man, they know how to put out some really pretty content that proves or tries to prove differently than what's actually happening.
Yeah.
And Cassie says, no. I'm going to put it all out there. So anyway, you said a second ago, like, hey, you know what? I learned some stuff. I want to bring it back to the, you know, bring it back home. Well, I think you left some stuff here too, that we might look at internally to, you know, maybe not emulate, but to take from. And
yeah. It's a passion of mine, actually, showing, cause I've battled with perfectionism. If you read the introduction to my cookbook, I talk about that. I talk about how I really struggle with perfectionism and I want it to be perfect every single time. And I was noticing when I was starting to cook, you know, even with the healthy cooking stuff, and I would make this, you know, the 10 commandments, brownies or whatever. I, you know, my friends are all laughing about it. I'm like dying inside because I'm like, I just want to be good at this and I can't, and I don't know why I suck, you know. But, and this is going to sound off topic, but I used to do ballet, and I used to be a dancer. And something that one of my dance teachers said to me one time was, the more that you are messing up, the more you're criticizing yourself and the worse you're going to perform. So if you hyperfixate on the failures or the mistakes, then you're going to get in your own head. It's kind of like what you were saying, right? Like if somebody tells you to put the, you know, watch your fingers, put the knife down, walk away, because you are going to get in your own head. And so for me, it was turning off that part of my brain that needed it to be perfect and saying, I want to share the story with these people and show them that they can do it too. Because I represent I am the social media representation of the average Joe learning how to cook. And that's a joy for me. And I've had such a great time showcasing my learnings to these people. And I get people commenting on my posts, wow, I really learned something from this. Thank you so much for sharing that. Or people will comment and say, hey, I noticed that you did it this way. Try this instead. You know, like one thing that I saw was, hey, you should freeze your tomatoes so that you can peel, the peels will come off easier, stuff like that. And I don't know.
I just cringed.
But it's people, I've created a community that wants to share advice and wants to learn advice.
On the other side of that, if you boil them, they, you know, like if you cook them, they, you know, you put them in there.
When you're talking about is tomato concasse.
Yeah.
So you make an incision on the bottom, you take the top off the core where it connects, and then you just drop them in for 30 seconds and they shock them.
Yeah.
And then you just peel them off.
Yeah, they split and you pull them off.
So I don't know what he just said, but I like it. Sounded good.
So I have some other points here, but You brought some things up today that I feel are in our industry, in our space, as you said, it's profound. Mm. You know, it is. It really is. Because in the end of it, you know, we're here. You get comments galore. And you know, we can all look at our social media or look in the comment sections of other socials and everything. And you see how the first thing people want to do is scorch you. That's the first thing they want to do. They want to tear you apart. I never want that. I don't ever want that. And so what we put out, and you, there's plenty of what we do that you can rip apart, but I don't, you know, I feel like maybe it's time for us to just show the whole picture of it versus our little bouquet that we put out, like the perfect bouquet, you know, that we aim to be perfect. Not that we are. I'm not saying that, but you understand what I mean? Maybe that's something, because, you know, comment, we get a lot of likes and there's a lot of back chatter in our circle. You know, we get, you know, between John and Jeff and myself, a few others who were part of this thing, there's a lot of side chats, and it doesn't happen on the social, which is crazy to me. But well, maybe we need to give him something to rip us apart on, or something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to express it.
It's different. So when we're posting pictures, or we're posting about the podcast itself. We're not talking about the behind the scenes. We're not talking about the coconut cream being curdled or something like that. What I wanted to do say is, like, for instance, being a social influencer as a chef, and I'm going to talk for a lot of the chefs out there. And we talked about it briefly when we were conversing, when you were on your way from Texas to come into the studio. Being a chef, we hear social influencers, especially when they're dealing with food, they don't usually have the credibility. And we kind of chefs in our own right have the ego, and we're very, whether it be jealous, envious, or whatever it is, we want things to be put out there and emulate what's going on in the actual industry. There's one guy I follow, young guy, and we've talked about him, and I don't remember his name. He does a great job cleaning. He does, you know, things off the cuff and beautiful presentations, and he gets done, and I go, now do it 200 times on a Saturday night. That's where we kind of go in. But one of the things that you emulate that I find, and that if any chef were to call me and be like, how did you have the social influencer? And I'm going to put this right out there. You have passion. Passion cannot be taught. If you were to come in my restaurant, you said, hey, I want to get a job. And you have that passion that you do when you're producing and doing your content, and the passion you had in here to learn, you're hired. So any chef that looks at them and says to an influencer that doesn't have the passion, yeah, you have a right to then go after that person. But for someone that you get to know, then you see they have this passion, and we're always talking about it can't be taught, then leave you alone. Do your content. Do the average Joe content. Be who you are and show who you are. Congratulations. I mean, you've done something. You've found the right mix and the right seasoning and the right dash of this and the sprinkle of that to be who you are today. Kudos. Kudos.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I'm like tearing up.
Don't, because here's the thing. When I heard that you were going to be coming on, I'm like, what does she have to offer? And this is honest to God. I was
a little pissed with him when because he was questioning. So there's not I'm not a photographer, right?
Nor are you a chef.
I'm certainly not a chef.
He is a master judge.
I can eat, you know, but what I feel I bring to the table is, you know, the vehicle. I really put together the vehicle of this thing. So when I see somebody, like you actually reached out to us, you know, which was really awesome. By the way, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, because I get people always send me notes. Hey, I'll be better. And I usually dismiss them, honestly. And I looked into what you were doing, and I remembered you actually from a few years ago. I mean, I've seen your content before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. And I'm like, man, she's got healthy, you know, 13 million plus on TikTok, and on another 180, whatever it is, a couple hundred thousand on Instagram. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty great. And I'm already seeing, I look forward, you know, so I look at what you have to offer, and I'm already piecing together like, okay, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this on a forward motion, not just for this episode, like what we can do going forward. So then I get excited. So I'll call John, or I'll call, you know, Jeff,
and I'll be the last one.
And well, no, it depends.
Debbie Downer.
Sometimes, no, you.
If he doesn't answer the phone, he calls me.
It's random, and I do that to both of you. But here's the thing: he's like, and actually, I talked to him about it. I was like, "You believe this shit?" I was like, "Excuse the language." I was like, "You believe this?" I was like, "This." She has a lot of passion. She really loves with this stuff. I think she's going to be great on the show.
Well, what does she have to offer?
No, man. No, 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 no. Tons to offer. But he didn't know. He didn't look you up first, even when I sent the link.
Actually, I did.
Did you?
Yeah, I actually looked.
You dirty.
I saw it, and my question was, what does she have to... Again, we're talking about for face value.
So now what do you think?
I already told you.
Say it again.
When somebody has the passion that she does, then leave her alone and let her do what she needs to do.
That's awesome.
And listen, I'm the first one to say I was wrong. I judged the book before it's by its cover without even turning a page.
The cookbook by
the cover.
The cover, man.
But here's the thing. She was on the Food Network and she has her own TV show that we do not like as chefs. And when you see somebody come out like that and they say certain things that are wrong, you cringe and you just go, what the, because they don't emulate what we do as a profession. And that's what we get upset about, because our profession, we have, like, you know, we have certain things that we go through. There's a lot of turmoil. We are perfectionists. So we have to get that out of our head. And I tell my daughter, and here's for anybody out there, you have to look at yourself as being the biggest cheerleader for yourself, because you have 13,000 comments and half of them are battering you because you didn't do something right. If you're going to go through life that way, then you're just going to be sitting in a fetal position. You have to be that protector, your biggest cheerleader going forward, because that's the only person you have. Mm-hmm. It's you. Yeah. And you have to be that way. And you can, you know, meet people that are going to support you and mentor you to be better, but you have to be that person that goes out to seek that. And that's the biggest thing.
I commend you, Jeffrey, right now for this last piece that you're talking about. That was probably on this, out of 115 episodes, that was probably your most profound statement. Really. That's tremendous.
Thank God it was recorded.
Oh, wait, we're not recording. Yeah,
no. I knew somebody was going to make that joke.
Psych. All right. How has social media changed your life?
Wow. That is a loaded question. I think just off the top of my head, I mean, it's taken me places and given me opportunities that I thought I would never have. Like, who would have thought that I would fly halfway across the country to be on the number one food podcast in America and be sitting here with you guys and a almost Michelin star chef.
That's her talk, not mine. I want to go on record, mine.
Everybody look under your seat and grab your star.
You know, it's been incredible. And I've learned so much just by putting my story out there. So I think, like, immediately that would be my initial response. But I mean, on top of that, I mean, I went from barely knowing how to take care of myself in 2021, the beginning of that, not knowing how to cook at all, sharing my journey, and through sponsorships and being a content creator, I've been able to build a life for myself through the support of my incredible following that has allowed me to buy my first home at the age of 23. And I have a dog and an incredible community of people. And I moved, you know, across the country to live in a different state that I'd always wanted to kind of live in, or, you know, like, I'd always wanted to move and experience a new place. And
I mean, you went from California to Texas.
I was avoiding that detail.
Oh
no, it's okay. No, the only reason was because they don't like the Californians.
Yeah. But you don't seem like a typical, I mean, you said you were from Southern California, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a different, that's like a different country.
But it's a different, yes.
But she already said y'all. We were on the phone the other night.
I did. I embraced it. The minute I knew I was moving to Texas, I started saying y'all to an annoying degree. But yeah, no, and it's been quite a journey for sure. But I'm happy to be here. And it's been just the most incredible opportunities have come from just sharing my story.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
Where do you find your creativity? You do a lot of content.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And to do a lot of content, you have to have, yeah, okay, you could say, I don't want to hear passion. We already know that. It takes a lot of energy to do content. And, you know, people who are not in this space do not understand the level of patience and time and agony that it is to put out content. So how do you stay creative?
My with the community.
Yeah.
My community. And that's why I was saying, you know, at the beginning of, you know, this podcast, I was saying it's so important to be surrounded by people that inspire you. And so I'm here with you guys, right? And I'm feeling inspired. You were saying you noticed kind of like a spark in me, and we feed off of each other, right? Mm-hmm. Like Jeff and I were feeding off of each other. He was being his creative self. I was being my creative self. There's a spark there, you know? And so I would say community, when I've been by myself and when I've been, you know, when I first moved to Texas and I was kind of trying to find my new community, I actually started surrounding myself with people who hated social media. Like didn't like, they would make fun of my like Cassie dance and like tease me for it. But I think that it was actually like rooted in something. Like they did not like it. And I felt embarrassed. And so I stopped making content for a year because I was like, oh, like, no, it's kind of weird. Maybe it's kind of over with and done with. And, you know, I wouldn't say that that was the only reason. You know, there were several reasons going into me kind of pausing on that and kind of pursuing a more of a corporate route of social media, kind of trying to understand the other side of it. But, you know, coming back into this, I experienced some turmoil in my life, my day-to-day life, and kind of found myself with a lot of time on my hands. And, you know, I'm with this incredible guy who was like, you should go for this. Like, you should go back to this, like try it. And he pushed me and he set aside so much time to help me prep everything. Like, so he could do all the behind the scenes work so that when I was cooking, I wouldn't have to worry about cleaning up. I wouldn't have to worry about putting everything in the like little jars and, you know, everything. Cause with cooking content, you have to be really careful about the way that you show yourself pouring the ingredients. And like, yes, you could use a measuring spoon, but like, that's not as appealing or attractive. You want to use like a glass bowl or like a jar, you know? And so he was doing all that stuff for me and having that encouragement. And then seeing like when my cookbook came out and everybody at my church came up to me and they were like, hey, congratulations on the cookbook. You know, like people are around me are encouraging me to pursue my dreams and I'm seeing it as a possibility now. And so short answer is passion. But what's the passion rooted in? It's your community. It's the people who are surrounding you and encouraging you. You know, because if you're doing it by yourself, you can be a one-man show. But you might have even noticed the content that I was making last year. The spark wasn't in my eyes because I was doing it, but I wasn't being supported. You know, now the spark is back and I'm surrounded by the right people and the energy is there and it's great.
I just want to go on record to say one thing. I was amazed that you pick five. Mm. When you mean five, you mean five.
Yes, I do.
So I want to make clear that when I said to her, so no salt, no pepper, nope. If it's the five ingredients, that's the five ingredients, and that's what you make.
Frame out what we did today.
Which part?
That part.
All right, so we had all of the ingredients in the menu that I did today. I brought raw ingredient and more for Cassie to pick up, whatever like we're going to do. Kind of the what she does in her content now. We had 18, someone said 20
items. There were 20.
But there are 18 because we ate two or somebody ate two. And then she picked out just ironically enough. I'm like, oh, you know, it'd be great if you got the sandwich because we did the sandwich. first one was like lemon marmalade. The second one was chicken. The third one was like, oh my God, this is going great. Microgreens. And the other one was like, oh my God, if she gets the bread, I'm like, oh wow, she's got everything. So then I go, so can you add cheese? Can you add the bacon? Nope. I'm like, ooh. And then you got pickled onions. I'm like, wow, this is, and then you two talked, and we're like, hey, well, I'm going to take the pickle juice, put it the chicken, and da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, well, the pickle juice is going to work. The lemon's going to really work. Yeah, this is going to really work. In my head, I'm going through the flavor profiles. And you did your little dance. Mm-hmm. So, and Carl's going to come up with his own.
But then, and she also did the right cuts, too.
Yes, she did.
With the big chef knife.
I did. And without, like, the supervision of the person who taught me.
Yeah. He turned his back.
Yeah,
you know, he said, no, I had to go to the restroom.
He's like, he kicked you out of the nest. He's like, yeah, you're on your own.
Yeah, that was fast.
Yeah, we do that. We do that.
It's a quick turnaround.
Kick it to the curb.
Yeah.
How was your experience today working alongside of, I don't want to say a Michelin, but I want to say like a me chillin, like you chillin, like it's a me chillin chef. Mm-hmm. How about that?
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. You could create merch for that.
Yeah, me chillin.
Yeah. Me chillin.
You're a me chillin star. I know I just came up with that now.
You better copyright it.
You better get on that now.
Trademark it.
I claim that today and no one else can have it.
Say your name.
Carl Fiadini.
Yeah, I would say that my experience today...
July 25th. I'm just saying. 2024. Sorry.
I was so confused. I was like, there's a date now. What? Okay.
Welcome to our hell.
What was the question again? Experience today. My experience was, it was amazing. I had so much fun. Just being surrounded by creative people. You know, you guys were so creative with me and we all fed each other creatively and in different ways. I mean, Jeff was creatively inspiring me with what to cook and you were creatively inspiring me with the kind of video to make, Carl. And John was creatively inspiring me in the kind of images that we could take with this. So, I mean, the takeaway today is... like it's dense. There is a dense takeaway today.
You're saying Jeff's dense?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yes. Jeff was the it that I was referring to.
That's usually how I discuss it.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I love your brother. I'm only kidding. Well, all right. So with all this food talk and you know, we're all making this food content in different capacities or whatever. What are you eating at home?
Kraft mac and cheese.
I knew it.
No, but for real.
My daughter loves you already.
No, it's funny. I will cook for myself and I try to make content surrounding what I'll cook for myself. Because again, I mean, that's how I got started. You know, it's like filming what I'm cooking for myself for the week. And then I can eat the same thing for lunch and dinner every single day. I have an Eggo waffle every morning for breakfast. And that is, I love that. I actually, for the 4th of July, I made like a strawberry reduction sauce syrup. I know, right?
Sounds classy.
I was very classy and I was very proud of myself. So I was putting that on my waffles in the mornings and it was delicious. But yeah, I would say, you know, usually I just started the series called Meal Prep Monday. And so I made like homemade fettuccine Alfredo down to like the actual making the pasta, the macaroni, and I made the cheese sauce and, you know, all of that. And then I just ate that every day. And then I made, you know, a chicken noodle soup. So then, you know,
noodle.
Okay.
Well, she made chicken noodle
chicken
soup.
Chicken pasta but that's, soup. I'm
no,
sorry.
No. That's where I was going to go with it. That's where correct. When you say noodle. Noodle has the connotation of being like ramen noodle.
Asian inspired.
Right, Asian, because that's where it actually started from, uh-huh. Right? China with the exportation or the, with the Italy, not Marco Polo, because everyone found out it's not Marco Polo who bought pasta back, but it was somebody else that brought it back and introduced it to the Italians. That's where it comes from.
Mm-hmm. It was Gino.
Yeah.
So, listen, what I was thinking is
I think it was Tony.
Might have been Gino. Could have been. Yeah. What I was thinking is that, you know, you're probably like binge bagging McDonald's or something like that. But no, you're actually cooking. You're cooking.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Yeah, I definitely do not eat much McDonald's. If I go to fast food, it's Chick-fil-A, but I live in a small town, so we don't have very many options. So, you know, I have like four restaurants that I could go to, like fast food. And none of them are McDonald's, surprisingly.
Well, I mean, it didn't have to be the actual
Whataburger and Outburger.
There's Whataburger, I know, which I'm not going
to
say that.
I'm a little upset. A few weeks ago, I went out to Oklahoma and to Kansas, and they were there, and I'd never had that. And I was like, oh man, I want to stop. We didn't have the time.
Did you not eat enough meat? You needed more meat?
When I got home, I actually cooked.
He gained 6 pounds on that trip. It was like 3 days.
Yeah.
True story.
True story. But I eat meat. I'm a meat eater. That's what I do. I don't.
What's your end game? Like, what you said, dreams. What's the dream? What's the end game for you? Like, what do you want to do? What's the vision?
I mean, now that you've been on our show.
I don't, honestly, I got here and I said, now what? yeah, no, I would say it changes, you know, because this is true. I was telling my managers, I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years. And I'd love to say, oh, I have like a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan, but things are just constantly changing with new opportunities arising. I'm not really sure. Like I could maybe be a host of, you know, a cooking show, you know, a Netflix show, you know, something like that. I have a feeling that it's going to be more social media. Cause I just think in general, social media, there's so much more opportunity if you're your own producer. You know, when you start adding in the other producers and overarching, you know, networks, that's where you, I think, might not be valued as much as you are, you know? So giving yourself the power, I want to be a boss, you know? And so I would love to have my own network, and I would love to just, I would love to have a studio that I could cook in. That's not my house. You know, separation of work and home would be great.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Right? I know, as we're sitting in, you know, a house to record this. I mean, a studio. And yeah.
Well, no. So this, it is a studio. This is a legit studio. Mm-hmm. And it's also a house. And on, you know, on production days, we commandeer the whole thing. And we're very fortunate and blessed that, you know, John and his wife, you know,
she allows us
to do this
for right now.
And the dog.
Well, now the new one. Yeah.
The puppy. Tell us about the book. Where did the inspiration come from for the book? Obviously there's passion there and the whole thing, but what was the driver?
Yeah. I have wanted to make a cookbook since I started cooking. So about 5 years, for 4 or 5 years, I've been wanting to make a cookbook, and I got this opportunity kind of dropped in my lap randomly. Like it was actually in my junk mail, in my email inbox from this company from the UK that was, you know, like, hey, we want to make a cookbook with you. And I kind of hesitated on it. And I decided to email them back just to see what they had to offer. And they got on a call with me and we got to talk out what the whole process would look like. And I realized, like, all the years of me learning how to cook and people commenting and saying, you should have a cookbook, and me kind of laughing it off, like, yeah, that would be great. You know, we're here now. And so that was kind of the inspiration behind it. It was just my experience and like wanting to share. I mean, like the title of my cookbook is Trusting the Process. It's something that is near and dear to my heart, because over time, as I've made these videos and showcased my failures or my mistakes, I'll say, trust the process, you know, while I'm trying to follow the recipe. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense. And this is looking weird. And like, it, you know, why is this turning into a brown liquid? It's supposed to be a marshmallow. Like, I'm confused. Trust the process, you know. And And so that's been something that I've said. So trusting the process. And then the subtitle is From Beginner to Gourmet, or it's a beginner's guide to gourmet. And I love the way that that's put. I'm still figuring out the gourmet part, but we're all beginners in this together.
I like to pronounce it gourmet, you know.
And I think that that would be more accurate with, you know, gourmet is kind of like me chilling, you know, me chilling star. I'm not gourmet yet, but I can call myself gourmet. Maybe just a gorm.
Yeah, gorm. I'm gorm. What's up? Yeah. We're trending here today, buddy.
What's the difference between gourmet food and food?
You tell me.
Nothing. It's the way it's presented.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I struggle is plating. Like I mentioned this to Carl when he and I first started talking. I'm like, I can cook, but I don't know how to plate things. So, you know, I wanted to make sure that Carl knew before it came on this podcast and let it be on the record that I said, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm figuring it out. And I think that's an interesting angle for the podcast.
I think it's an that's just part of your whole
shtick.
That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You said it. You didn't know. This wasn't a thing that you do. And now you've kind of built into it. You've built around it. Now it's like you have a cookbook out. By the way, where do they get the cookbook?
Where? So you can find it right now at the link in my Instagram bio, which is @CASSIESHRP, Cassie Sherp. There's a link in my Instagram bio. It also can be found at, I want to make sure I get the link correct, but I think it's found.com/create. Okay. Yeah. It's found.us/creators/Cassie Sherp, CASSIESHRP. So right now, I wish you could just look it up and be like, oh, Trusting the Process by Cassie Sherp, but I don't know if we're there yet. Maybe on my next cookbook.
It's going to get there.
Yeah. Could be.
How do we do that? You know, it's funny because when we used to do the, not that we used to, it just has been a while, but our YouTube content, what was really cool about it is we would publish a video and within an hour, you could find it. You can Google your name and it would be there, which I thought was incredible. I mean, that's the power of, the Google machine. Mm-hmm. It's really incredible. I got to get back to that. Maybe we should do some series with your Padawan over here.
Well, and that's what I was going to talk about. That was the content. So that way she can learn not to cut herself. Or the best thing that I do too is like when I look at certain items that are like meatloaf, like comfort foods, I'll Google Michelin star chef presentation. And I'll look through what certain people are doing and kind of like, oh, I get it, what they're doing. And I can see how they're plating and the structure and everything that, and then I kind of go on my own and kind of, oh, no, I'm going to go this way. So just, you know, don't think use social media the way it should be used. It's a background so that you can actually learn and see what other people are doing. And you don't have to reinvent the wheel. I got it. So let me see. And I'll put my own little spur, you know, twist on it and turn on it.
You know, Cassie, I was going to ask you what's next for you, but I know what's next for you. Walk and Talk is.
Cool.
We're going to talk about that. I think there's some opportunities that we could do together to make a difference.
That's the goal.
A passionate difference, yeah. Right? I just want to say thank you for coming out. You flew out all the way from Texas, all the way over there, halfway across the state, country, to this state. And I appreciate that. And to Buddy, who's not here at the moment. I didn't say his name because you didn't. So I picked up what you're putting down, right?
Jeff. I need one of him, though. I need somebody to come in and clean up and put pots and pans. Right. No, at my house when I prep.
Yeah. Plus, John, you give resistance. I don't hear that.
To help you put your pants on?
No. I need that soon. At my age, yeah. Thanks, Cassie.
I didn't think you were that old.
We got to roll. Listen, John, you're awesome. Everybody here is great. Little puppy. All right, we are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice.
They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.